The Gospel records Jesus' encounter with two specific named individuals when he passes through the city of Jericho. One of these individuals was extremely rich, the other was depressingly poor. One lived a life of privilege, the other a life of poverty. For one, Jericho was a place for acquiring wealth. For the other, it was simply a question of survival. For one, it was about business. For the other, it was about begging. Two people at the opposite ends of the social spectrum whose paths had never crossed, but both of them were in great need. And both of them had a life-changing encounter with Jesus in the city of Jericho. One of them, you may have heard of, was a wealthy tax collector whose name was Zacchaeus. The other was a blind beggar named Bartimaeus. And this morning we're going to see how Bartimaeus met Jesus. And in the process we're going to discover how to make a fresh start. This episode where Bartimaeus meets Jesus is depicted in the film Jesus. And we're going to see how the film producer depicted this event in the life of Bartimaeus right now.
What's happening? What's going on?
Jesus of Nazareth. He's passing by.
Jesus! Oh, Jesus! Son of David, have mercy on me!
What do you want me to do for you?
I want to see again.
Then see. Your faith has made you well.
I can see. I can see. I can see.
Well, that's how the film producer depicted it. This is how Mark records the story in his gospel in chapter 10 from verse 46. Then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," many of the people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. And in this wonderful story, we find a way in which each one of us who needs it can find a fresh start. And the first way, the first thing that we need to do if we need a fresh start in life is to seize the moment. To seize the moment. When he heard that Jesus from Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." You see, in each of our lives, there come golden moments of opportunity, moments of choice, of decision, moments which have the potential to alter the entire course of our lives. And such a moment comes to Bartimaeus as he sits by the roadside begging. I wonder how many days, months, years he had been doing the same thing. Sitting in the gutter, in grinding poverty, hoping against hope that a few people would take pity on him and that he would receive enough handouts to survive another day. What a life, if you could call it a life. And then Bartimaeus hears this commotion of a crowd coming his way, and his hopes rise. Maybe amongst this crowd there will be some generous people. And then he discovers that the commotion is about a man called Jesus of Nazareth who's passing by. He's heard about Jesus, this miracle worker from Galilee, the carpenter turned rabbi that everyone is talking about. Maybe he can help me. I hear he heals all manner of diseases. Can he do something about blind eyes? Seize the moment, Bartimaeus. Seize the moment. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I wonder what you would have done if you had been Bartimaeus, if you had been sitting in the gutter as Jesus passed by. Maybe you would have thought, well, I'd like to investigate this man further. I'd like to find out more about Jesus before I do anything rash. I think I'll try and listen to his teaching. I'll see what other people are saying about him. Maybe next time he comes to Jericho, I'll try and get his attention. Bartimaeus, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's on his way to a cross. He's never coming back. He will never pass this way again. Of course, Bartimaeus doesn't know that. Only Jesus' disciples know that, and even though they know it, they don't really understand what it means. But for Bartimaeus, this is the moment. It's now or never, his only chance. Seize the moment, blind man. Seize the moment. Now, I've heard people say, I'll become a Christian when I'm older. I'm still young yet. I've got plenty of time, lots of things I want to do first, when I'm older. I remember speaking to a man once after a funeral where I'd buried his wife. God had really spoken to him during the service. And afterwards he said to me, Graham, what you said, it really made me think. I'd like to have a serious talk with you. Sure, I said, absolutely, whenever you want. He said, well, I've got a few things I need to sort out first. Okay, I said, I'll call you. We'll get together for a coffee. So I called him a number of times and his answer phone was never on. And he never returned my messages. So I dropped him some notes in the post. And he never responded. And today, I don't know where that man is. Although there was a time of years where I prayed for him almost every day, I'm not even sure if he's still alive. Missed opportunities. An opportunity comes and we either take it with both hands, we seize the moment, or we put it off to another day, and that day never comes. I've always been struck by the words of Jesus when he said, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him. You can't come to Jesus whenever you feel like it, but only when the Father is drawing you. And none of us can boast about tomorrow, actually. We can't say, I'll come to Christ tomorrow. The devil doesn't mind what you do tomorrow, as long as you don't do it today. Because tomorrow may never come. This is what James wrote in chapter 4 of his letter. He said, look here, you who say today or tomorrow, we're going to a certain town and we'll stay there a year, we'll do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. Here a little while and then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Listen, Paul writes, this is the hour to receive God's favor. Today is the day to be saved. Seize the moment. I wonder if you've seen the film Dead Poets Society. Have you seen that film? You'll probably remember how Robin Williams plays the part of a newly appointed teacher in a prestigious American boarding school. And there's a scene where he urges his students to grasp the moment, to recognize the importance of the day. Here's a clip from that film.
Did the virgins to make much of time?
Yes. The one. Somewhat appropriate, isn't it?
Gather ye rosebuds while ye may, old time is still a-flying, and this same flower that smiles today, tomorrow will be dying.
Thank you, Mr. Fitz. Gather ye rosebuds while ye may. The Latin term for that sentiment is carpe diem. Now, who knows what that means?
Carpe diem. That's seize the day.
Very good, Mr.
Meeks.
Meeks. Another unusual name. Seize the day. Gather ye rosebuds while ye may. Why does the writer use these lines?
Because he's in a hurry.
No.
Ding.
Thank you for playing anyway. Because we are food for worms, lads. Because believe it or not, each and every one of us in this room is one day going to stop breathing, turn cold, and die. I'd like you to step forward over here and peruse some of the faces from the past. You've walked past them many times. I don't think you've really looked at them. They're not that different from you, are they? Same haircuts, full of hormones, just like you. Invincible, just like you feel. The world is their oyster. They believe they're destined for great things, just like many of you. Their eyes are full of hope, just like you. Did they wait until it was too late to make from their lives even one iota of what they were capable? Because you see, gentlemen, these boys are now fertilizing daffodils. But if you listen real close, you can hear them whisper their legacy to you. Go on, lean in. Listen. You hear it?
Seize the day, boys. Make your lives extraordinary. Every one of us has the opportunity to do that. Bartimaeus' life was changed because he saw the moment of opportunity and he took it. Here's the second thing that you can do to make a fresh start. Tame your fear. Tame your fear. Be quiet, some of the people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. He received no encouragement whatsoever from the crowd. They told him to shut up. They didn't want Jesus' impression of their beautiful city to be spoiled by the sights and sounds of a filthy beggar crying out for mercy. Shut up, keep quiet, or else. Must have been very intimidating for Bartimaeus. Crowds can be intimidating, can't they? Don't expect any encouragement from the crowd. It was a crowd that wanted to crucify Jesus. If you listen to the crowd, you'll be paralyzed by fear. You don't believe all that Jesus stuff, do you? All that superstitious nonsense? You're not one of those Jesus freaks, are you? One of those born-again Christians? Bible basher, sky pilot. Anyway, if there was a Jesus, he wouldn't be interested in the likes of you. Bartimaeus had a choice. Would he listen to the crowd and be intimidated by them, or would he follow his heart? Would he risk being ignored or even dismissed by Jesus? Would he risk the failure of rejection, his pleas of mercy going unheeded? What if it didn't work? What if he had the one kind of blindness that Jesus couldn't heal? Wouldn't it be more sensible just to sit quiet, not to make a fuss, and simply hope that Jesus would notice him? After all, people did say he was the Messiah. Bartimaeus, tame those fears. Don't give way to fear and doubt. Take the risk. What have you got to lose? It's fear that stops many people coming to Christ. What if it doesn't work? What if nothing happens? If Jesus doesn't accept me, what will I do then? What if my friends or family don't approve of my faith in Jesus? What if they make fun of me at school or work or college? Will you be paralyzed by fear? Or will you risk it all for Jesus? Jesus said, I'll never turn away anyone who comes to me. Tame your fears. Then here's the third thing that you can do. You can announce your faith. Announce your faith. Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. In effect, Bartimaeus was saying, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you're the Messiah. That's what Son of David meant. It was a Jewish term for the Jewish Messiah. Jesus, I believe you can help me. You can give me what I really need. And Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? And he replies, teacher, I want to see. Bartimaeus could have asked for money or a meal, a cushion to make his life in the gutter more comfortable, some new clothes. A white stick would have been very useful. Or a guide dog. But what he said was, I want to see. And you can make it happen. He announced his faith. He risked ridicule, rejection and failure when he said, Jesus, I believe you can do it. I want to see. Announcing his faith without embarrassment or shame. Calling out to Jesus in front of the crowd. And it's interesting, actually, as we read the story, we found that the crowd that a moment ago was telling him to shut up is now telling him to cheer up, because Jesus is calling you. That's why you should never listen to the crowd. Remember, Palm Sunday gave way to Good Friday. The crowd cheering for Jesus on Palm Sunday were cheering for him to be killed on Good Friday. But Bartimaeus was prepared to come out with his faith, and he didn't care who heard it. Jesus, you're the Messiah, and I need your healing touch on my life. Have mercy. I want to see. You're following this series of great one-sentence prayers, and here is the blind man's one-sentence prayer, albeit in two parts. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I want to see. And in his prayer, he teaches us three basic principles for effective prayer. Very simple, but very important. Number one, effective prayer is serious. It's serious. Bartimaeus wasn't playing games. He was deadly serious. He knew that Jesus was his only hope of healing, and nothing and nobody was going to stop him getting to Jesus. Bartimaeus would have crawled on broken glass to get to the Messiah, desperate and determined to bring his request to Jesus. Now I wonder, Would we see more of our prayers answered if we were more passionate, more in earnest, more serious about them? I think of Jesus' parable of the persistent widow. Do you remember that story? The persistent widow and the unjust judge, and how she kept coming to the judge saying, "I demand justice." And he ignored her and dismissed her and didn't want to respond to her pleas. But eventually she wins her case because she will not give up. And the story is introduced by the simple statement that Jesus told it to encourage people always to pray and never to give up. That's why he told the story. Be serious. That's one of the secrets of effective prayer. Here's the second secret. Keep it simple. Effective prayer is simple. God's not interested in the eloquence of your prayers, but their sincerity. So be simple. You don't have to pray long, involved prayers to get God's attention. In fact, this is what Jesus said about the secret of prayer. Here it is. When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating the words over and over again. Don't be like them. For your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask Him. So, be simple. Keep it simple. He's not impressed by your language. He's moved by your heart. And then the third basic principle of effective prayer is to be specific. You know, vague prayers get vague answers. When Jesus asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" the correct answer is not, "Well, Jesus, you decide. I really don't mind." For Bartimaeus, the answer was clear and specific in words of one syllable, "I want to see." It was specific. "Let me receive my sight." What's your prayer? What's the thing that is uppermost on your heart and mind this morning? What do you want God for you to do for you? Be serious. Keep it simple. Make it specific and see what God will do. Fourth step to making a fresh start with Jesus, to receive God's grace. Receive God's grace. Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has healed you." And instantly the blind man could see. All it took was a word from Jesus and he was healed. Didn't have to bring anything to Jesus except his need. He didn't have to earn the grace of God. He didn't deserve it. He didn't have to pay for it. He just had to believe and receive. Because the grace of God is a gift. God doesn't give us what we deserve. He gives us what we don't deserve. That's grace. It applies to salvation as much as it does to healing. For the scripture says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast." Scripture says, "Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Bartimaeus called and he was saved. He received the grace of God. Graham, what do I have to do to be saved? Same thing. Believe and receive. Believe Jesus is who he says he is and will do what he said he will do. Call out to him in prayer and receive him into your life by faith. Let him change you from the inside out. And like so many others here this morning, you can make the wonderful discovery that Paul describes where he says, "The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me." You can find out for yourself by personal experience that when anyone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. The old life has gone, a new life has come. Have you had that experience? Has Jesus changed your life from the inside out? Seize the moment. Receive the grace of God. this morning. And when you've done that, you're ready to take the next step. Take the next step. The scripture says that then he followed Jesus down the road. Bartimaeus was never, ever going to let Jesus out of his sight again. Now that he had sight, what better person to look at and to follow than Jesus? You know, one of the earliest descriptions of the Christian life that you find in the New Testament is the way. That's what Christians described their life. They called it the way. It wasn't a momentary decision. It was a way of life. It was a pilgrimage. It was a journey that they had embarked on. And when you call out to Jesus, it's not the end, but it's the beginning of a wonderful journey, a wonderful way of living, an adventure that's about to begin that will take you into all kinds of situations and challenges and opportunities, many of them that you could never have imagined in your wildest dreams. Taking you to people, places, and giving you experiences that you would never have dreamed of. And all that you need to do is to take the next step. That's how you make a fresh start. Let me ask you, what would be the next step for you? Here's some things I thought of. Might be for you, the next step is to go to that newcomer's lunch. You've been coming to Holland Road for a while. You haven't committed yourself to the church. You're just inquiring. Come along to that newcomer's lunch. Find out some more. The Alpha course that was mentioned beginning next month. If you're still in that position that you're inquiring, you're seeking faith, you're not there yet, come to that Alpha course. And invest some time in learning more. There are things in your life you need to put right. People you need to apologize to. Money you need to pay back. There have been times when I've taken people to the police station to confess a crime. And to take the consequences for it. Because they so wanted to put their lives right with God. They were that serious. Is there something you need to put right? A letter you need to write? A phone call you need to make? Somebody that you need to apologize to? Maybe it's simply a matter that today, this morning, is the time and the moment to give your life to Christ. You've heard enough, you know enough, and you know this is the moment that you need to seize and say, Lord Jesus, here and now, I surrender my life to you. You can do that even as I continue speaking. Just in the quietness of your own heart. Maybe it's to go public. You've been hiding your light under a bushel. You've been ashamed and embarrassed to be known as a Christian. And now's the time to come out of the closet and say, I am a Christian. I went to church yesterday and it was great. And why don't you come with me next Sunday? Get baptized. Start reading the Bible. You've always meant to do it. Wouldn't today be a good time to start? Regularly reading the Bible. Learning how to pray. Offering to serve. I love that invitation you're going to get to that group that's starting. Where you can go and discover your gifts. And learn how you can serve and be involved in the ministry of the kingdom of God. You could start giving regularly. Wouldn't that be novel for some of us? To say, Lord, if you're Lord at all, you're Lord of all. I dedicate my finances and resources to you. And as a sign of that, I'm going to start giving regularly to the work of God's kingdom. Church membership. I believe this is where God wants me to be. I'm not going to just carry on living together with this bunch of people. I'm going to marry them. So I'm going to become a committed church member at Holland Road. And maybe it just needs to be summed up in this way. Tell God you're available to him. Anything, anytime, anywhere. Here am I, wholly available. As for me, I will serve the Lord. How to make a fresh start? Here are those five things again. Seize the moment. Don't put off till tomorrow what you should be doing today. Tame your fears. Don't let those voices inside or outside deter you from doing what you know is right. Announce your faith. Declare your faith in Jesus, who he is and what he's done for you. Receive the grace of God to enable you to be the person God created you to be. Then take the next step. Follow Jesus down the road. You'll be amazed at where he leads you. The scenery you pass through and the adventures that you have along the way will be like nothing you've ever experienced before. Do you need to take a fresh start this morning? Jesus is passing by. Why don't you call out to him and ask him to have mercy on you? Rosemary is going to come and sing another song to us as we conclude. This is an oldie. Some of you who are as old as we are will remember it was a song that Bev Shea sang. I couldn't think of a more appropriate song for Rosemary to sing as we conclude than this song that speaks about one who sat by the roadside begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. It's a song called When Jesus Comes. It speaks of someone else who wasn't blinded, someone who was troubled by evil, and Jesus delivered him. It speaks of those who are unclean and impure inside, and how Jesus made them whole. So listen and recognize that Jesus is passing by and wants to set you free also. Listen as Rosemary sings.